for tapes, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. This is the 2013 Memorial Day Teaching and Deliverance Camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp in Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Friday evening, May the 24th, 2013. Jim Landry is the speaker of the service, teaching on I'm Called to the Deliverance Ministry.
We're going to ask Jim to come up and share with the word of the Lord with you. We thank you so much for him.
I've been trying to figure out what he wants me to share, and I'm not playing. Five, six, maybe a little longer than that. Several years ago, I'd get all messed up with that. I think Doc wrote the book, Rejection Was All About Me. I just didn't see my name in it. And that doesn't disturb me anymore. And so we could just change it, just like whatever, you know, whatever you say change. So I'm not looking at anything I looked at any time before. Plus, trust me, I studied weeks on stuff that's piled up in here and looked like we're not even going to get there. Tonight, I guess we'll title tonight's message, I'm Called to the Deliverance Ministry. We'll believe God that God will give us what he would have us to have for tonight. Amen. Every one of you have been called to the Deliverance Ministry. Called to do miracles. Supernatural. Your example is your great high priest, Jesus Christ. I'd like to begin in a passage of scripture in 3 John, the second verse. I think it's a very familiar passage of scripture to all of us. I want to try to encourage all of you. I pray that God will encourage all of you in this evening's message. As Brother Merrill has shared with you, God has called all of us here for such a time as this. And this is your season, and don't let the enemy come in and try to steal your goods. That's what he wants to do, but don't let him do it. In 3 John, the second verse, it says, Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prosper. For I rejoice greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. People, the truth you know will make you free. And we here today and this entire camp meeting get truth. Not what we think, not rationale, not reasonings, but the word. We want, everyone here has a need, including myself. May I take off my jacket, please? Every one of us has a need. And one of the first things that I learned, I think, when we came into the ministry is that I knew I had an issue. I knew that I had problems. For some reason, God just planted it in my soul. He touched my heart to understand the importance of cover. Having a mentor. Having someone to speak into my life. Someone to rain on my parade. Somebody to tell me, you blew it. Because I couldn't take nothing before I was saved. I mean, you tell me something, I mean, I'm ready to fight. You know, I was martial arts and everything. I didn't care. I'll talk to you, whatever you can tell. You know, some of that God's using tonight. I have five children. One of my girls laughed just like me, so I'm looking forward to seeing her next week. She's coming in town for one of my granddaughter's graduation. So, but anyway, I knew that God was going to be my protector, my covering, and I knew that I just instinctively understood. I began to read in the Old Testament to the New Testament, and I saw David, and I saw how David just treated Saul, and how he honored the anointing, and I say, oh, God, I've never been like that. I say, I honor my dad. I know my dad. My dad loves me. And I say, but it ain't like this. I say, there's a lot of missing in me. I was so fragmented. It's just so fragmented. Coming from a divorced family, my dad and mother married when he came out of the Korean War. And he was, I mean, it's about a shell shock you could get. And he managed to get himself together and maintain over the years. And God sustained him. And I was with them last week. We buried his oldest sister. And so I just had a lot of problems. You know, I just lots of issues. And so I can identify. I had to touch on the toe. And first year or two, I, I had the dreams. I had the brief, the air in the neck, like something was trying to get me to the boogeyman. And, you know, I had all those little things and slowly began. In other words, I can identify with you. So I'm trying to take the calling is there. And you have to, you know, accept the fact that I'm a pastor, and but the respect should be to the anointing of God, not so much to me. And so I'm trying to just talk just very candid and plain, because I believe that's the way Jesus was. I mean, very seldom you could find him quoting some of this stuff we hear on TV. I mean, you know, the language is so gibberish, it sounds like you come out of an Ivy League college, you know, or something, you know. And, but Jesus has said, be healed, I love you. You know, just very simple statements, you know. And so I'm just trying to think about over my past, some of the things and the barriers I've faced, and many of the things that you're facing now. And I just want to encourage you, because you're going to make it. I've been there. I don't know any of the leaders that have not went through the same things. You're going to make it. All right. But you must put yourself in a position, to be tolerant of reproof and correction and exhortation. You must place yourself in a position to trust and allow God to say, well, if the person mess up, then God says forgive them, or God says separate. Allow him to make those decisions. Don't put up a wall, you know. We're not even into the message, but these are some things I think are help. To me, if I had to look back over the last 20-some years of understanding spiritual warfare, what I would think that God had used to sustain me and has kept me all these years, I would think it would have been my great love for submission. My great love to want to be under. I would give it up today. You know, I'm a person that if God say, okay, I got to move you to California. Or, well, let's say God talked to my supervisor. They want to move me to California to work. I'm passing the church in my city. I tell my wife, listen, I got 5 years to retire. We're making all this money. It's helping the kingdom. I got to move. So what are we going to do? We're going to go over there and start a church? Oh, no. I said, you start a church by going out and win souls, bringing people to Christ, and you help another man establish his work, and God will give you your own. I said, because I'm a pastor in Bowman, when I go to California, I'm going to find somebody to get under. That's what's missing in the church today. So it's just in me. I know. I understand that. I understand. I try to tell people. I try to, you know. My wife was first called into the deliverance ministry. Our pastor and his wife is still part of our ministry. She's 92. And her husband introduced me to Pastor Dean, who introduced me to Pastor Miller and Frank Mazzulla and Frank Hammer and the Wish to Swish, and the list goes on and on, way back in the late 80s and the early 90s. Gene Moody, Earlene, all of them. They used to stay in our homes and stuff. So my wife, we were at our ministry, and I had went to a friend of mine. I was a PTA president. He's now on the school board. And his secretary was having some problems, and I said, well, why don't you come? We're having a little get-together at our assembly. The church we were going to was 8 miles north of our city. So in the early years, God made us leave and go 8 miles away, but we had Friday night prayer meetings in our city because our pastor would come, and we'd go house to house. And that's when we saw our gifts manifest, and prophetic word, and demons come out, and people get blessed and filled with the Holy Spirit. So we had all this, you know. Don't ever lose your hunger and love for that type of activity. That is the whole gospel, people. and so this young lady, she did come, and she brought her family, and they were praying for her at the altar, and I was sitting down, and all of a sudden she fell on the floor and started squirming like a little, you know, snake. Yes, and it was very challenging. And I saw my wife jump down there. My wife was saying, come out in the name of Jesus. Now, those were familiar words. I had read them in the New Testament. And I said, well, I believe that too. I believe that too. But it wasn't birthed to me yet, you know. I didn't have the, you know, it wasn't there, you know what I mean? I was going by just literally by faith, you know. And I just couldn't imagine my half down there and this person moving like that and I don't help, you know. I had no sense to know not to grab her legs. I mean, I was a man, you know, so I was just assisting. And my pastor was there and his wife was there. And they was kind of looking over like, you know, they were doing like we do. We'll get you starting to work. And so I didn't know anything about it. And But I wasn't in disagreement about it. And, of course, I was baptized in the name of Jesus, so I didn't have none, you know. I was in good shape. I was a good boy. So we're going to help everybody else get free. Until one day we was in one of the prayer meetings, and this demon manifested on me, and the smile came up so tight, it was like a crocodile. And I couldn't get it off of me. It was like, oh, man. Oh, man. And I saw this little old lady, because she was in the 70s. Then she walked up there like this, like a little peacock, you know. Can I have you, demon of pride? And I knew from that point on that I would be battling that one. Not that I would have a problem with it attacking me, but that would be my Achilles heel. In other words, I would be the one I would be dealing with the rest of my life. Everybody got something they came out of. I mean, I drank, I did all that. Those things are not an issue. But that bad boy right there will cause you to miss heaven. We got a lot of people going to heaven, disabled, bodies and shape and burned up and blew up half and half. But that boy is a total rebellion to God. It's an antichrist. And I'm so glad I had that demon. I'm so glad God let me know. Man, this thing would have done to me right now. I'd have been probably at a mega church right now. I'd have been thinking about what I have tonight. Some of you could have rode on my Learjet. Nothing personal. I'm just talking in generality. There are good and adulterous preachers in every faith, from the 25 member to the 2500 member. And I have preached in mega churches, so I wouldn't be able to go there if I didn't have my thought that way. They'd have smelled that demon in me. Oh, you Pharisee. You know, Pharisees see everything fairly. I think you ought to be like us. You know, we manifest this, and we are that, or we baptize, and they, we eat this, we don't do that. I mean, what happened to just being Jesus people? Just loving people. Why you got to meet me with your law first? Meet me with grace. Meet me with love. I'm not saying some of these things we shouldn't do, you know, but I'm just simply saying in application, we need to be retaught how we apply these truths and how we need to do it in season. So my wife is doing all this deliverance, and so that's kind of how we got involved in it. That's been 20-some years ago. I guess I'll just stop with the twins. When we get in the 30s, I have to start thinking about it, so. It might be 30s now because I just had another birthday. But it's been a long time. And I've been called into spiritual warfare. You've been called into spiritual warfare. There is no denial of that. Each one of you have been selected by the Lord. You've been called. You've been chosen. You're the faithful for such a time as this. So hopefully something will be said in this hour that will encourage you. And I want you to know that. You know, you see the books, you hear about the tapes, you hear people talk about the love I have for you and teachers and all that. That don't mean anything right now if I don't say anything that comes from heaven. If I just throw out a bunch of words out there, it don't matter about my past. It's all about what's happening right now. Right now in this hour, as our overseer said, Brother Merle. And so, but I wanted to say some things to let you know that I didn't arrive here because I graduated Bible college or colleges. I don't use those. I was sitting out there about where Sister Tamika is sitting right there. She's from our group here in Beaumont in Port Arthur, a minister there. They have a wonderful little work there that's starting and delivers. Lots of street work there. So I was sitting right there probably in 94, maybe 96, somewhere in between there. And one of the ministers was here, Sister Irma's friend from Phoenix, Arizona. Can't think his name right now. And he had just started a Bible school over there. He teaches on generational curses. He said, hey. He said, hola. I said, I ain't Mexican. I said, never mind. I'm a Christian. And boy, that started off. Boy, we started laughing then. And the next thing I know, Doc, and them called me up. I don't know how long this is going to last, but we'll work with it. Trust me, that this won't disturb me. And then Brother Glenn, and there was this lady here, she's about in her 90s. I forgot her name. Miss Mildred? Sister Mildred. Boy, Mildred, boy, she can, boy, when she finished with you, you was wet. They come and grab you. Oh, you're not a preacher. So what I'm trying to say is I'm of you and you of me. In other words, the Holy Spirit is the one that appoints. All right, so I'm not coming out here from, they'll say from Beaumont and he's this and that, but it's nothing. None of that existed out here. None of that. Now, the Boma church was because my pastor was friends with Brother Miller. All right, and Brother Miller's been to Boma years ago. Derek Prince, Demon Shakaran, and all that used to come through Boma, Texas when they had the Young Businessmen Association. That was way back in the 70s. I wasn't around there doing nothing. I was overseas probably in the military. So I didn't know them. And so we had a church, but all of the evangelism, all of the writings, Sister Jerry prayed for me, the Bastard Curse, the Judge of Your Parents, all that came out of her teachings. I mean, the authority came out of Doc and Brother Miller. I mean, just everything I owe to what God has done through here. So don't see me as independent of this work. I am this work. This work, I represent this work. I want to make it clear. There is no division, no divisiveness. And whatever the rules are we said here, I abide by the rules, without exception. Jeremiah, the 22nd chapter. I think when I'm reading, I'm going to see the mic there. It looks like an ice cream cone, children. I'm playing. I'm going to move this right now. I'm going to move this right now. It's too low. Look at that. I have a grandson. He's going on 3 years old. You know, he's just, you know, pawpaw, that's all you know, pawpaw. And I told him, I said, I'm going to spoil him. And my daughters, all of them, they know it. They know I'm going to do it. And the scripture says, spare the rod, hate the child. I'm not talking about that scripture now. I spoil the child because I love him. Now, if he's wrong, he'll take a spanking, but he ain't ready. I ain't got to him yet. It'll be a little while yet. I love them babies. Now, Jerry, a lot of them have been to the Bone White and met our children over the years, like I met theirs, children. They know that. I believe if you're a child of God, you ought to have love for the children of God, and that the babies ought to have a significant attraction to you too, because children can tell if a person something is wrong. They don't want to be around you, and so your ministry should be able to reach to the children because they got a calling on their life too, and they want to know what I got to do. What's going to be my part? Because me and some of us just go to work. All we see on our jobs is one or two people because, you know, we done got older now. And we just turn a few dials and one or two people come in our office or whatever. But them children got to sit in the class with 20 people sometime. And then you got a bully here. You got one over here eating their boogers and everything else. So, and they see all that. And they have to compose themselves and they realize, well, I can't judge them. Mama, let's just pray for John. He always messing up. He's messing his pants every week. So they got to do. They got to deal with all that, the bullies and all that, and so we got to deal with stuff. So the message, some people are afraid to have deliverance and have children involved, but I don't see anything in the scripture say you're supposed to separate them from it. You should use some consideration if you're dealing with adultery, fornication, things like that, you know, and men meetings, women meetings, but the children ought to be able to grasp something out of the message I'm doing today. Alexis, she's got the same name as my granddaughter. They all should grasp something out of it. At the end of the day, they should say, I'm called to do something. And so this is what we're here tonight to share with you. In Jeremiah 22, verse 3, it says, thus says the Lord. Boy, this mic then went down again, huh? y'all see this thing. Execute ye judgment and righteousness and deliver the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor. That's one of the demons that be attacking me too, be saying, you too tall, the podium too short, you hadn't had a prescription in 2.5 years, you're not going to see your nose. You know what I'm talking about. But everything's just working out fine tonight, though, so I can see. Thank you, Jesus. Anyway, we'll get serious in a minute. I got something that should rain on everybody for rain. Somebody will. But anyway. Thus saith the Lord, execute ye judgment and righteousness, and deliver the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor, and do no wrong, do no violence to the stranger, the fatherless, nor the widow, neither shed innocent blood in this place. For if you do this thing, indeed, then shall there enter in by the gates of this house kings, kingly anointing, sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, he and his servants and his people. But if you will not hear these words, I swear by myself, saith the Lord, that this house shall become a desolation. God says in this passage of scripture for each of us to deliver the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor. Deliverance in this passage of scripture is not suggested. It is God ordering us to do deliverance. Deliverance is a divine demand. I just want to make sure that everyone that's here for this hour that I'm sharing understand that this is not a mistake. God is the one that has called you here. Deliverance is a divine demand. God says that if we would do what he says to do to deliver the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor, kings would come through the doors of this place. Kingly anointing. God is going to raise a kingly race. God is going to raise in Obadiah saviors. Deliver us. Supernatural. More of the same. Kings shall come through this door. A kingly race will be raised up in our midst. God is going to raise kings. And like in Revelation 1, when it talks about kings and priests, I see it as a kingdom of priests with authority from God. God is going to raise a kingly race with divine authority, with divine dominion. We'll come into the fullness of sonship, and we'll come into the fullness of servanthood. We servants. We serve. We serve before we leave. But it also says, it put in these passages of scripture, that if we don't do what God has told us to do, a curse will come upon us. The place will be emptied out. You know, I've noticed in America, particularly in the New York areas, that in a lot of places, they blame it up on the real estate market and all of that. But many of the churches are down to nothing. Many of them have closed. It's malnutrition in the ministries, and it should be disturbing to all of us. We'll see where you end up in a minute. I probably won't pay attention. You have been chosen by God. You are the called out ones to do the work. And deliverance is indispensable for each of you to come into the fullness and kingship that God has placed upon your life. You're the called ones. The Bible says that we are kings. The Bible teaches we are a royal priesthood. But let me ask you a question. How many of us are living to those standards? How many? Well, I can tell you not many. Not many. We're not ministering deliverance. We haven't been delivered. Well, it's because we don't hear from the ministry. God is raising up a kingly race that will bring the message so that we can hear the message of deliverance. But many of the churches are silent. You look at verse 5. If we fail to deliver the spoil out of the hand of the oppressor, then this house will become a desolation. And churches after churches in America are closing their doors. Their hearts are closed to deliverance. Oh, you got the mega churches, thousands in attendance, of course, and many of them are only a religious show. People going on service on Sunday mornings, 1 hour, they have a little chit-chat, a little spiritual entertainment. Most of them don't have a clue what happened after the service. And they don't know what was delivered by what, a man or a woman, that, depending on how they was dressed. Sometimes that don't matter. Lord have mercy. We pray for them all to get delivered. We know it's demons. But now people are standing up and declaring, they feel like they're in a free society right now. They just feel like they just want trying to urge you in Sodom and Gomorrah real quick. And they'll just stand up and tell you, this is what I am. And this gentleman up in Georgia about, 2 years ago, and I'm not talking about the one that failed in this ministry. He has a mega church over there, not too far from the one that was in Atlanta. And he just got on the mic, divorced his wife, told everybody he was he was different anyway. And the people just stayed there. Duh. You keep hearing this serpent talk. You keep hearing that vineyard music. Yeah, I'm waiting on you. And you keep hearing, listen to all them lies. And when the man of God tell you he working for the devil, you don't go. And so I was just amazed at that. They didn't even hardly get national news. Made one time on TV. And after that, it just quiet. Mega church, over 1,000 members. Divorced his wife. So anyway, people coming out of some of these places, they're feeling good about themselves, and they don't get disturbed. And so repentance is something that's considered in the doctrinal teaching for the new converts that march up by the hundreds, many cases in some of these large places. But how many churches in America are ministering deliverance? See, that's why you're here, because you're that church. You're doing what God has called you to do. Well, many of the old timers are gone. You've heard me say this before. Many of the old timers are gone. Don Basham, Marcus Haggard, Wayne Worley. I was listening, I think, to one of Marcus Haggard's tapes a few weeks back. I listened to Frank Hammond tape last week on discipline. In other words, I'm always being refueled. I don't have a problem with listening to music to make my soul feel good, but But at this point, I really need to hear teaching, you know. And so I go back and see what some of these old timers did and get some of that, you know. And I like it when they put the dollar books out there. I say, whoo, this is a jewel. I remember him 25 years ago. And so we pass by, you pass by the table. You got the dollar books, the dollar set. Get them. That's all I'm saying, get them. I got some old stuff to go back so many years. And I got to transfer all that to DVD and CD in the future. But the Wind World is Derek Prince, Frank and Idamene Hammond, Frank Mazzullo, Bill Banks, Dr. Bill Noe, Chris Simpson, Apostle Glenn Miller, Pastor Harlan Deans, and many others are gone now. And so my question to each of you, so I want you to understand that God's called you tonight, that where are the replacements? Where are the men and women of God coming up the ranks to take their place? Who among you is willing to be submissive 5, 10, or 15 years or more before you come into your own ministry? I wouldn't hastily say amen. I remember Monty Mulkey. Been knowing Monty for way, way back. And Monty was part of Win Worthy Ministry up in Chicago. And he was writing a lot of the lessons that Win was teaching. Pastor Win was teaching, excuse me. But Monty never taught a message for over 15 years. And some of us can't wait till yesterday happened. And we can't wait to tell you what we got. And so we got to wait. I remember one time I was coming up here, thank God it snowed, because I had wrote this first book and I had totally had it out of context on what I was going to deliver that morning when I got here. And if God wouldn't have brought a snow, I'd have made a fool out of myself. I was like, thank you, brother. I had to turn around. Me and Pastor Dean, we got way out here on the end. We couldn't turn in the snow. And when I went home and I was going back over my notes and that was end up being the first book, I said, oh my God, I'd have made a fool out of me. God said, no, you'd have been lying on me. So, you can't allow shame to get you. You got to say, thank you. And just go on, move on. Some of us are ashamed, just bear us. I mean, we just get in the barrel. We can close the lid ourselves. Nobody ain't got to lock you up. But God want to get you free. God want to get you free. And so it's our responsibility to become accountable. And submissive to the work and serve. Lord, just where you want me to serve? What do you want me to do? And one thing I learned, my dad was a good, he is a good man, and he disciplined well and talked to you. He's soft spoken. I talk like my mama. And he's just, you barely can, what'd you say? And I don't remember ever talking back to my dad, not once. I talked back to Pastor Dean one time, but I really don't think it was talked back. It was an inappropriate question. And I asked one question to Pastor Glenn Miller in 20-some years that I knew him. And it was a legitimate question, but I just asked him. He gave me an answer. I said, okay, that was it. And so, but I know people just in front of the pastor, what do you think about this? What do you think about that? Well, I just don't think this. I never. That's how I was when I wasn't saved. I just had a word for everything. I was the taxi. You just come and sit. Each of you as the called out ones, disciples, ministers, leaders, potential leaders, were called to have a deliverance ministry. Every one of you have been called to set the captives free. Somebody needs some kind of help. Going to need your help, your prayer, your ministry. The devil has managed to suppress the message of deliverance for the past 1,000 years or so. But the last 60, 70 years or so, God has brought it back. So it's here to stay. And we're going to be working diligently as delegated servants of God in the last days, and we will have an impact. And so don't let the enemy come and steal that from you, because you have been chosen and you have been called into this work. Unfortunately, many Christian believers around the world, if they were arrested for their beliefs and interrogated by the Antichrist for their ministry of deliverance, we'd probably find it would be enough evidence to imprison them. They'll be found innocent. And so here you come inside here, you're saying, I just can't believe I got to go through this. I can't believe. Listen, will you pass the interrogation test? All right, so God, the one called you, said, go through it. I went through it. I've been drugged through the mill. I mean, I had to get delivered of highs and I don't know, a whole lot of stuff, okay? Well, there's physical, maybe tomorrow night I'll deal with this, physical manifestations that happen in our bodies. There's spiritual, there's religious, there's cultural, there's generational. So I had a lot of things I had to get delivered from, okay? And so we still getting delivered. All right? And so God has you here for such a time as this, and despise not, you know, your walk in the Lord at this time, the small beginnings. Because I assure you, the latter days are coming and the greater end is expected out of your lives, and God's got a great work for you. Just put in the time. What's the rush? Brother Miller was, I think, 90 when he passed on. 91. See, I'm 60, so that's 30 more years. So what's the rush? Someone was like, yesterday! And we mess up, and we come out, and we Charlie Chaplin out here. Some of you young people I'm talking about, we're clowning. We just be clowning. So what's the rush? What's wrong with sitting down another year? What's wrong with that? Well, when we started the international conference in Texas, which came out of here, and I talked to Pastor Miller and Doc about it, 6 months in the summer, and then it was like 6 months later, I mentioned it to a friend of mine in New York, and they gave me my blessings, and I said, well, I don't know if I want to do it, so I sat on it. A year passed by, and I was talking to Bishop Rosario. He said, I think the Lord's telling you to do that. Well, if you know Bishop, he tells you all the time, the Lord said, do it. He don't play around. He's ready to fight. And so even after he told me that, it was still another 6 months, and then I took a letter. I wrote 12 letters to 12 leaders, and God said, don't pick nobody you know. So I had to send letters to a Baptist, a Methodist, non-denomination. In fact, the guy showed up with one church in our city, had over 700 members, and he was the one that bring Benny Hinn in, bring Bishop Jacob. I was surprised. He came to my little old church with 20 members on Magnolia Street where the lights sometimes is bad and the termites come out in the summer. And they was all sitting down, and I had to stand up there, and God said, don't worry about it. Your gift made room for you. I said, I still don't stand up there. I still don't stand. What I'm going to say? He said, just tell them what I told you. And I said, okay. I said, well, the Lord told me that Benny Hinn comes and the prophet Kim comes and Bishop Jake comes and we got prayer ministries and we got young people ministries. We got a city choir and now the Jehovah's Witnesses having their annual conferences in our city. And he says he wants a spiritual warfare conference. And you know, the people all came with me. I'm serious. They came. I'm serious. And I'm serious. I wasn't really surprised, but it was just good knowing that. But that didn't come over 5 years of working in ministry. It came after about 20 years to arrive at that time. Okay, so what I'm saying is, you know, don't be in a rush. Enjoy the ride. You know, gain valuable experience, get deliverance, and trust God. I mean, you're hearing the message. You get imbalanced here. We don't tell our ministers what to teach. Nobody's told you need to teach this. You need to do a deliverance. You don't need to cast out demons. Don't preach on it. Brother Miller never told us that. We accept what God gives each minister for that hour. And at the end of the conference, we realize that was balanced. So all of it will be necessary. All you have to do is overcome them demons talking to your mind right now saying, I don't want to talk about the devil right now. I'd rather hear about love. You got to cast it down because that's all it is the devil. I mean, you could get like me and say, well, I travel a lot, I teach a lot of deliverance, and I mean, I'm ready to fight. Like, I mean, you have no clue how geared up I am for this thing. There is no way I can describe it other than being a zealot. I mean, just totally zealous. I can just stop right now and say, finish! I'm finished! Because I'm ready to fight that bad. Alright? And I am so comfortable hearing Kyle talk about the love of Jesus and seeing. Alright, so why you gotta be one-sided? I'm going to Judges, the 7th chapter. I promise I'm only going to take an hour because I'm skimming across. I had no idea God was going to have me go this way tonight. And you know how we have it all planned out? Well, in my case, I'll be having it planned out on 3 different areas. So God is so faithful. In Judges, I want to read a couple of passages of scriptures in Judges, beginning at the 7th chapter, verse 1. Then Jerubbaal, who is Gideon, and all the people that were with him rose up early and pitched beside the well of Herod, so that the host of the Midianites were on the north side of them by the hill of Morah in the valley. And the Lord said unto Gideon, the people that are with you, the 32,000, it's too many. It's too many for me to give the Midianites into their hands, lest Israel vaunt themselves against me, saying, my own hand has saved me. And I tell you what, it's a testimony of my own life. So that God would not allow me to give that same kind of testimony, he has allowed me to go through battle after battle, victory after victory, and remember to ride. So I didn't have the opportunity to be the vaunt myself or take pride about what my abilities were, or what the doctor's abilities were, what the psychiatrist's abilities were, what the educational abilities were. It clearly, everything he's done for me has been supernatural. The most recent supernatural, I mentioned it in March. I was between jobs, and I'm a contractor by trade. I've worked by choice, but right now I don't have much choice. I got to work a little bit. But I do work for myself. And so anyway, but I did work and submit to another authority for 17 years, and I retired five years ago this month. And we take care of a lot of things. Not only Pastor, my wife and I, then there's our children. And so we do things. And we live on a real minor budget. And then when things change, I do something. I just went and bought our new car. All right, so there's some things, but that's because that's the husband in me. I could care less. I can drive a 20-year-old car. But that's the husband in me. We were having some friends of ours was having, he was having surgery, retired sergeant major. We've been friends over 20 some years, I guess. And we looked at our budget after we paid everything. And sometimes when I do contracts, it might be several weeks before they pay me. So I may use up all of the credit. I may use up, all of the liquid cash to pay the subcontractors off. So everything comes in is free. It's all mine. I do government contracts. So as long as I do it to government specifications, it's not like I'm going to lose. I'm not doing any work for personal people. The ones I do for personal people are usually Christians and church members, and they usually get a real bargain, so we don't advertise. The last of the church, I just charged $150 there for 4 days. But anyway, and I gave that to the man working with me. I just can't charge the congregation. I mean, we're there together. And so my wife and I, we're sitting at the table, we're looking at the bills, and I told her, I said, I don't think these contracts going to pay off for another 3 weeks. I said, this is what we got. I said, everything paid. She said, all the bills paid. I said, okay. We got food. I said, we got everything. I said, we need to send them something. Mickey can have a survey. I said, what are you going to do? You going to go to the bank? And I said, no. I said, we're going to give out of what we got. And she said, okay. I said, let's pray. I'm sitting at the table. She's sitting on the couch looking at me. And I got my head up like that. I said, 300. I said, then the Lord, I said, 250. And I said, Bert, I think the Lord told me $170. She said, okay. I said, write the check out. Well, we're not going to have nothing left, but I said, okay. I said, write it. Wrote the check. We sent them people that, do y'all know, about 2 years ago, we had turned in a claim for a windstorm on our home. Those things are just drawn out in court. The young man from Austin, Texas called, one of the young, I guess, representatives or attorneys. I don't know if he was an attorney or not. But I had to call him back because I called my attorney to make sure that it was really them calling. He said, Mr. Landry, we've looked at the windstorm damage on the rear of your home, and we're battling for you, and I think I'm going to get before the whatever they call them that they confront in the hearing. He said, I believe I can get you $17,000. I said, man, that's a 100-fold blessing. Or is that a 1,000-fold blessing? I don't even know. I said, Bert, I said, this man just called and said he's going to sell us $17,000. I said, we just sent Mickey $170 last week. I said, oh, man. I said, I ain't never experienced that. I said, guess what? Nobody has to tell me it was seed, fate, or nothing like that. Listen to what them doctors give to get. We just gave out of our, we didn't expect nothing. We didn't want nothing. We didn't care about nothing. Just wanted to help our friends. They wouldn't have known what our burden was. They didn't know that $170 represented everything we had at that hour. They never didn't know. So I'm just saying, I'm not just doing deliverance. I'm doing deliverance in every aspect of my life. You know, giving to his deliverance. Gideon had been chosen of God to save Israel from the hand of the Midianites. And because of Israel's sin, of course, many of you have already read the 6th chapter, Israel was delivered into the hand of Midian. And then the Midianites, the Amalekites, would come down, and they would see the season of their crops and their goods. And you'll see that in the 6th chapter. 1-7 or so, something like that. And you'll see in the 7th verse, and it came to pass when the children of Israel cried unto the Lord because of the Midianites. So the Midianites knew their season. All right, the enemy knew their season, their time of increase. But Israel, because of their evil deeds and sin, were not protected and were greatly impoverished. And they cried out to the Lord and answered after 7 years. So Midianite and the Amalekite spirit may be considered one of the principalities used to bring poverty to the church. You'll find this in the 6th verse, Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianite principality. All right, so you have to do a study on the Midianites, and I think it's from Abraham's second wife, Keturah, and you have to do the study on the Midianites and get a good teaching on that, understanding about poverty. I don't understand about giving your way out of poverty. I believe that we give our heart to God, and we are obedient to what God has called us to do. It's not just in the giving of finances, it's the giving of our lives. A generous giver gives their life for God, not money. I mean, so we got to get the whole thing in the right context with Scripture. People look at it in Matthew, and they take it totally out of context. Give, and it shall be given back to you. If you read that whole chapter in context, it's talking about forgiveness. In the same measure you forgive, you shall be forgiven. If you read it in context. Okay, so, but anyway. And so God heard their call. Israel, according to the sixth chapter, the Bible says in verse 2, that they would hide themselves in the mountains, in the caves, in the strongholds when those bill collectors showed up. When the Midianites and the Amalekites showed up, they hid themselves in the caves and they started using their debit cards and credit cards. But anyway, God delivered, praise the Lord. He delivered. All right, and Gideon had all those soldiers getting ready to get started, and I'm not going to break all that down because I want to get through some other things in the next 25 minutes. And since God has us just going from the hip, as they say, and I'm just trusting Him, I'm going to jump when He say jump and just move to another statement. But He started off with all those people that was willing to go and willing to fight. There's a lot of people who are going to start off with you. And you're going to think they're part of you when you start learning about getting delivered. You start telling them about repenting and talking about my pride. And you're going to realize that not only did God thin the ranks when it comes to Gideon's army, He's going to thin the ranks when it comes to making soldiers. All right, so you've been called to be a soldier, so expect there's going to be some thinning of the ranks. It's going to be some separation, some that you thought loved you, some that you thought, you know, stood with you. And you have to be able to move on and not be hurt. You need to be able to bless them and realize this is my season. They don't have the revelation. I don't give revelation. Holy Spirit bring revelation. So you can't judge, because with the same measure you judge, you shall be judged. And the person that judge, they just stop growing. You might think you're growing, you might still can dance, but you don't realize your heels on your shoes anymore. You think you can dance, man. Jesus chose in Mark the third chapter, he appointed 12 disciples. Turn with me to Mark the third chapter, verse 13, because He called you. The Lord has called you into the supernatural ministry of deliverance and the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Mark, the third chapter, verse 13, the Bible says, "And Jesus goeth up into a mountain, and He calleth unto Him," and in the King James it reads like this, "whom He would." Now sometimes other translations really are good in certain passages of Scripture, but this is so simple. It's letting you know that out of many disciples, He chose just them. Okay, so "whom He would," and they came unto Him. And the Bible says, "And He ordained 12 that they should be with Him, and that He might send them forth to preach, and that to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out demons." So we see here that Jesus went into the mountain, and the Bible says He went into the mountain to pray. Jesus was there the whole night praying. He was seeking for illumination. Guys, I was laying down in the room about 2 o'clock. And I just said, "Lord, I need to hear from You. What do You want me to do?" Boy, I just went into a sleep and I woke up. I said, "God, I need to be helping somebody." And He said, "Yes, you do." So I washed my face, ran in and started praying for somebody. You know, you can go in there just late. You know, you start going to deliverance camp. When I first started going, you get tired. You get so fatigued. You just sleep through the afternoon session. The Lord said, "Get up!" And I came in, I was able to bless the sisters. We just came, we just prayed, we just had a wonderful time in Jesus, you know. Just like I could have been in the bedroom just moping, but oh God, what you want me to preach on? Oh God, I can't hear from you. He said, "Get up!" And I heard him wash my face, brush my teeth, came on over here. All right, well, I just threw that in there. That's a nugget you got that only leaders talk about. And that's the pastor in me, we share everything. Because we thinking all that congregation out there one day going to pass us, so we tell them all of the things that we go through. All right, no big eyes, no little U's, just Jesus. So Jesus was there, And out of all of the disciples, you see, out of maybe 200, 300, 500 more or less, he chose 12. And the word here is used as chosen. And they were chosen to become apostles, the chosen ones. And what type of ministry were they chosen for? Spiritual warfare, supernatural, deliverance. And Mark 14 verse says that they were chosen first to be with him. They were first chosen to develop a relationship with Jesus. Chosen to spend considerable time with Jesus. Jesus was going to train them. He wasn't going to send them out as novices as they were. He was going to dedicate weeks, months, years to the disciples, teaching them, mentoring them, being their leader. And so this is our responsibility. We need to be mentored. We need to get under a cover. We need to get into a relationship with our mentors. You can't have a real mentor that just celebrates you and builds you up when you call boo-hooing about your problems or who messed over you at the job and who did this and who did that. I had a wonderful prayer meeting. I think Minister Sister Tamika was there. I spent some time working with one person. I said, listen, she was sitting in the back right there. She's from another city, but she worked with our team 15 miles away. And I said, listen, this is a deliverance night tonight. We try to, you know, find sin, deal with flesh, and you want to talk about your job. And she said, Brother Landon, the Lord told me the peace and be still. I said, well, he may tell you peace and be still, but why do you think that's got to do with your job? Well, Brother Landon, I just want to make sure I ain't running from nothing. I said, well, he might be talking to you in your spirit, in you. Oh, I didn't see it. 2 hours, this is to tell you, 7 o'clock I started. 8:45, she got up out the seat. The other two people came in, they were going in 15 minutes apiece, right? She was there. 2 hours! Get a call this week, got a new job teaching at a college. A retired nurse looking to make some extra money. And she said, told my wife, Pastor Bert, I know it was God that told me to move. So y'all need to listen. We have to listen. Sometimes we have our minds already made up. The blessing was there, but I was trying to get her to see the victory was in the Lord, not in trying to be getting along with the co-worker. The peace had nothing to do with the job. It was talking about God working in you. I'm your peace. Y'all have heard the message today. And so, too many times we go to a council, but we answer the question. Well, brother, I got a question. I can't help people like that. I don't know, because I come out of a teachable spirit, you know. And you can't go to my leaders, those that are alive today, because I still have a bunch of them. You get on my phone, I can call them all. Ain't no $150 I send nobody across town to be a minister. All right, and so I can call all of them and talk to them on a first name basis. And the ones that are gone, if they could write a report from heaven and send it to us, then they'll say, this man listened when I talked. So I never asked a loaded question. So we have to get, so we can uncall the mind and find what you need. If you got a question, just ask the question and sit back and see if we can hear from God. We want to hear from God. Jerry taught me this years ago. Lord, what's the truth to make her free? What's the truth to make Jim free? And when I got that, it was settled. It was settled. I said, that's the way you ask God. That's it. That's the only way I know now. Oh, I know. I got off the message. Oh, boy. Jesus, he appointed these 12. He appointed them to be with him. And he spent time with them, considerable time. And each of you represents the elect of God, the chosen one of God. And Jesus is spending time with you. This is why he's called us here today. He's spending time with us. He's loving us. And he's showing us and he's directed us. He loves us. God doesn't hate anyone. God loves us. And you got to get that right with him, that he's for you. And have faith in God and trust him. In Acts, the very first chapter of Acts, let's just go there for a minute. I'm going to bounce around there. In the first chapter of Acts, verse 1, it says, the former treatise have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to do and teach until the day in which he was taken up. And after that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days. And speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. Wow. Jesus rose from the dead. He spent 40 days with the disciples. And they were called in this verse of scripture, the chosen ones, the elect. Jesus spent the entire 40 days exclusively, not with the other hundreds of disciples, but with these disciples concentrating on one subject, the kingdom. And you know why? Because the apostles were going to become the administrators of the kingdom of God on earth in the first century. And the main feature of these men was going to be supernatural. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, preaching the kingdom of God, full of the Spirit. They were going out and preach the kingdom of God, of which they did do. Now, Jesus says that, and greater works than these shall you do. You've gotten the great commission. You're commissioned to do the work. Well, I don't know what. That's okay. I was there. All right? But still the word is true. Jesus said in John 14:12, verily, verily, he's not just saying that to Jim. He's saying it to you. And he's saying it to the young people. I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works, the entire work of ministry, the entire, which includes spiritual warfare, all right, shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Now, there are a lot of wonderful works out there going on today. And because you've been called into the supernatural ministry of Jesus, there are going to be seducing spirits to try to get you on this group with this intercession program, on the board of this directors, involved in this food pantry, and the enemy is going to try to scare you because there are a lot of good works that can distract us sometimes. Alright? But my point in scripture here in reference to John 14:12 is, how can you say you're part of a greater works team in a greater works ministry? I don't care how many people there is, how many thousands you do this for a week, but you're not able to do the very same works that Jesus did. Now, so each of you, God is called to do the greater works. And your effective works for God is the greater works ministry. The world and the world system and the world churches are trying to attack, and the enemy and the religious spirits is trying to undermine your efforts to be found faithful. Because if we live in a system where full of merit, full of accolades, full of recognition. But if you would do this work for God, humble yourself and do this work. God says your names are written in the Lamb book. God says, I have a reward for you. If you would do, as Jesus says, before he returns, this message of the kingdom should go into every nation. Every nation. And you have a part in that. I want a part in that. The preaching of the kingdom. The last 100 years or so, we've had a lot of gospel of love, the gospel of peace. But that alone is not the message of the kingdom. All right? A lot of necessary elements were omitted. All right? But now, the church is starting to come alive. We're not by ourselves. There are thousands of us around this country and around the world meeting somewhere tonight, just like we're meeting, talking about how can we reach one more person, how can we share one more message about Jesus and how he loves us, and that we need to be delivered. Alright? So, be encouraged. Jesus wants us to continue the earthly ministry that he had in his body. Now he's in a glorified body, in his body today called the church. So we're supposed to be doing the same work. So, don't allow the enemy to lie to you and convince you that you don't need to do this stuff. You do need to do it. And you need to begin at in your own home first. God wants us to begin in our own lives. Each of us represent the called ones to the deliverance ministry during these end times of restoration. So where will you sacrifice your ministries if necessary to build another man's work? Do you have vision? Do you know your destiny? Is your destiny to preach and make disciples? True preachers are servants. And they sacrifice themselves and they promote others. That's what you do. And for many, many years, I drove Pastor Dean up to Chicago and other places, carried his briefcase, and just did whatever I could do to help. When I began coming over here, it was not to minister. I came here for years before Pastor Miller and them called me up, and prayed over me and said, you're going to begin teaching over here. I thought it was a mistake. And I didn't even know the scripture existed. A lady was talking to me. I don't know who she was. It might have been Miss Mildred. had me encountered back there one day and was in my face. They said, your gift make room for your gift. I said, but I'm not even an educated man. I had to go home and actually find that scripture. So, y'all, it's a normal thing to know your gift make room for you. I didn't even see it. I didn't know it. I'm serious, people. I'm not trying to play with you here. And so, despise not your small beginnings here. God's got a powerful calling in your life, a powerful anointing in your life. And we want to bless you with that. Well, Jesus said also there are going to be some that not going to do what they're supposed to do, and then they're going to, he's not even going to recognize their ministry. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, I think y'all know where I'm going, in verse 21, just a few more minutes and I'll be finished for tonight's service, and I just hope something I said would be a blessing to you. In Matthew, the 7th chapter, verse 21, the Bible says, not everyone that said unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name cast out demons and done many wonderful works. And Jesus said, well, I profess unto them, I never knew you. The word never means never. You say, wow, you mean to tell somebody can be working right along? Well, maybe not so much right alongside you, but yes, the implication is there. But certainly, I've studied many of the deliverance ministries around the nation, not to study it to undervalue them or put them down. I don't have that type of personality. I study because everybody calling me one of them. So I just kind of get ahead of the program a little bit. And then I like knowing what everybody's doing, too, because I want to help. I want to learn whatever I can learn, because it might be what takes you to the next level. I can't be so snobbish that my way is the only highway, and then you coming here, and you trying to get free, and all I had to do is listen to one seminar 5 years ago that somebody else did, and the Holy Spirit can tell me what to say to you and get you free. Jesus said, forbid it not. No man can do a miracle in my name to speak lightly of me. We got too much of a pride demon in the deliverance minister. My way or no way. I don't believe in master. I believe in master. I don't believe you ought to do that. Excuse me. I learned not to do that no more. I thought I did anyway. And so these deliverance workers here, all these people that's going to be doing all these signs and glory, they got a lot of works out there. So you have to take your time. I go on the internet and I do studies. And when I'm studying sometimes, it takes me an hour or so just to Google to get down to something that's really accurate and scripture. Because the Mormons got theirs in there, but they don't say Mormon interpretation. The Catholics got theirs. They don't say Catholic interpretation. It just say what Jesus says about deliverance. And you just take that and then you gonna add that in your notes. You got to study this stuff. Because we don't have a lot of people teaching spiritual warfare. And so whenever we tape, it automatically goes to the internet, right? Well, they're teaching at their churches intentionally to replace these messages going out, so when you Google, you get to them first. So you got to tell your congregation, I'm a pastor. They need to know. Our children know. I'm not talking about my real church. I'm talking about the church, the whole congregation. You got to be able to not just take things at face value. You got to look real through the line. That's one message. There's one group. The brother, he knows the deliverance. He got some stuff that thinking there. I mean, all on the side, deliberate. I can't find a fallacy. I had to go almost 10, 12 pages in. This was years ago. And then I found in there, he made a little joke about us spitting in buckets and stuff. And I said, I got him. I knew he was lying. I knew it. I said, he don't have a whole revelation. He still got judgment. See, I could have had all that in there, and I would have left that out because I wouldn't have wanted to offend you, because we maybe worked together one night. So I watched the ones that got judgment. I don't contact them. I contact a lot of ministers and just find out where they're coming from. How y'all doing? How can we help? I'll be in your part of the country. When you're down there, let me know. I'll come to your meetings. I try to be friendly. But there's a limit there. There's a distance there. Because sometimes you can get tired with somebody, and then when they go down, everybody find out they was, or whatever, they was committing adultery, and then they tie you in there with them. Oh, he was with them. But anyway, all right. So Jesus warned these deliverance workers, warned us that there will be deliverance workers in the last days. They will be independent, full of iniquity, brethren, we will not be judged on the gifts we possess, but our fruit, our works. There are a lot of people say, I'm prophet so-and-so, I'm prophetess so-and-so, God speaks to me, no man tell me nothing. Yeah, I know. Your husband and your wife don't tell you nothing either. And so, we gotta get out of this stuck up thing. And if you're more mature than the person that's trying to give you some meat because they're doing it out of season or they're doing it inappropriately, and you're more mature than that, just thank God that you're more mature than that. Don't turn around and say, well, I just don't believe it's also. Just say, thank you. Appreciate that. God bless you. Appreciate that. Praise the Lord. Don't come to me talking about, well, I want to ask you what you think about it. You already know. You're right. You must be right. Otherwise, you wouldn't be questioning yourself. So I'm just trying to encourage you. I'm not putting nobody down. Trust me, I talked to a lot of people in the course of the conferences. And so I'm simply saying that if God has settled something and you've done your research and you're comfortable with that, then you don't need my opinion. In real submission, you lose your opinion. Soldiers are given orders and we just go out on the field and we do what our commanders tell us to do. We don't turn around and say, what if, why, you sure, aye, and definitely you don't talk back to your wife. So you need to learn how to lose your opinion. You got to learn how to lose your opinion. And my wife was telling me that. I'm going to give a big party for my granddaughter at the house. She said, well, we're going to put them. I said, honey, we've been going to my mom and dad out there, how small I was, everybody being. I'm thinking, don't tell her that, though. Don't say that. And I said, well, you're going to help me move all this food? You're going to help me cook? You're going to cook all that food for them? I said, yeah, honey, I'm going to take. Well, you know, you got something come up. I said, yeah, but I'm going to take care of it. I could have said, listen, let's just go rent the hotel and we'll pay for it, you know. I just said, no, I'm going to work with you. So I didn't have no opinion with her. I just listened to where she was concerned at. And I told her, yeah, I'm going to meet that expectation. I'm going to help her move the front. I'm going to cook the food. I'm going to barbecue. You know? So the same way that I've learned how to love my wife, you got to learn how to love each other. So if you come with a knife, expect a knife. All right? And you come in love, expect love. You who's friendly, ask friends.
Okay.
Well, I'm almost finished. It's been an hour yet. Like I say, maybe tomorrow night I'll get something that God gave me to study about. But I'm trying to encourage y'all because I know where you're coming from. Because been there, I probably will go through it again. Alright, and that's wilderness experiences in this walk. It seems like you just kind of sit out there in the wilderness and say, God, are you there? And God said, yes, I'm called faith. So I'm going to show you how to use this. And some of you come from where I've been later today, from Canada, different places around the country. And so that's, to me, that's just so awesome, you know, just so awesome. You have so much potential inside of you, so much potential. Don't thank anybody here, Kevin, myself, Patty, the elders here at the assembly, our overseer, Brother Murray. We don't have badgering conversations about who ain't gonna make it, who this and this and that. We don't do nothing like that. You'd have to be a Pharisee coming in wanting to start a work for us to make a, sit down and have an elder meeting like that. That doesn't happen pretty often. It hasn't happened in the last 2 or 3 years. Alright, so the worst case is our best case. Okay, so if you just got real problems, you just got a bad attitude, whatever, the worst case is our best case. In other words, you have the greatest potential. That don't mean you need to get mad and act nasty tonight, though. I don't want to give you a reason to act manifest. But to us, that's but that's our best case to us. All right, and the ones we can't get to because they know as much as we know, I've written the books and everything. Like that, it's just, you know, you just got to wait for something to happen. So we're here. And the people here are geared for you, and so it's okay. So we're going to encourage you. And anybody that loves anybody know if they is going to be with some reproof there, some correction. In other words, we might not say, shut up! I know what you mean. Just be okay. Can you hold that thought? All right. But we are here for you, and we're going to be here for you. And you need to understand that I'm on part of the board here for God knows how many years. And so if I tell you, you can contact me or email me, stuff like that. I'm not doing anything independent here. Okay, I'm just trying to develop a relationship with you. My time should be considered, yes, of course. But you represent the kingdom. You represent the royal priesthood. My life is for your ministry. I'm not going to be here but another 30, 40, 50 years. What are you going to do after I'm gone for some of you young whippersnappers? Okay, so our whole life centers around your ministry, your life. So we're going to give you a little time. And when I see where you wean and stuff, you see me start backing away. Oh, I missed that call, didn't I? I missed that call last month, didn't I? We'll wean you off. All right? Because we don't want you tagging on like that and be crippled. All right? But I'm a soldier. Now, Kevin, I got the pastoral, you know, and he got that love. I got that love, too, but I'll fight. I'm going to try to get you ready to go to war. Your life depends on it, and somebody else's life might depend. Suppose you be praying somebody, a demon pick the person up, decide to throw them off the building. What you going to do? Oh, my God! You wasting your time saying that. You just got a dead person. You better say, I'll buy you in the name of Jesus. Put it back down. Put it back down. And so if you don't get that part of me when I counsel you, then when if that ever happened, which it has happened in my life, I said, one time we had a lady. Well, I got a beer too. Now, hold on. I'll get you some beer. But well, we don't have time for that. If I'm going to stop an hour. But we had one time manifest like a cat, and Brother Dean and his wife had to run down the street. And they couldn't get the manifestation to stop. So, and they couldn't. They were trying to bind it, but you're out on the street, cars passing by, boom, boom, and the lady walking in. So it was kind of hard to get the demon arrested because they were probably, they were young, they was 50 then too. Because I was 35 when all that was going down. And Brother Dean passed away about 2 years ago, a year and a half ago. And so what they had to do, they just put a leash around her neck. A spiritual leash, and they walked her back to the house and didn't cast the demon out. I'm trying to just tell you, you know.
I don't know why that came up there. Something I was going to say.
Do it like you do, Sister Jerry. Let me finish up in Psalms 106. Let me show you that the scriptures that that Jesus used to choose his disciples and choose you. In Psalms 101, verse 6. Psalms 101, verse 6 says, my eyes shall be upon the faithful of the land, that they may dwell with me. He that walketh in a perfect way, he shall serve me. God chooses who are to walk with him. This is the basis of the election of the 12. It is the basis of the election of each of you that are here today. Why did Jesus choose these men above the others? Why did he give you a deliverance ministry? Faithfulness. See, Jesus chose the 12 and each of you to be with him, according to Psalms 101, verse 6, says that God chooses the faithful to be with him. Judge yourselves, though. Are you faithful? Are you faithful in another man's work? Have you been faithful in your time? Faithful serving at your local church? Faithful in investing your money, your knowledge, your giftings, your talents? Faithful, faithful, faithful. That's the basis of being with the Lord when he returns. Will we be faithful? Yes, we will. Amen. The elect, the chosen ones of God, must prove that they are faithful. You got to stand with this thing. God didn't reveal to you spiritual warfare. You must stand. Okay? The difference between the called and the chosen is faithfulness. You desire to be effective in getting your deliverance and be effective in the deliverance ministry in spiritual warfare, faithfulness is one of the requirements. You must be found faithful. Well, you say, well, I'm going to finish with this. Pastor Landry, I believe in deliverance, but God called me in the healing ministry. In Luke, the 10th chapter, when Jesus called the 70, he didn't give them names. He said, other 70. That's all. That's the only reference to them is the other 70. Jesus began to give them their commission to go out and minister. The Bible says, and these things the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two by two before his face into every city and place where he himself would come. He gave them a specific instruction in verse 9 that says, and heal the sick that are therein, and say unto them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto thee. But what happened? The 70 came back. Boy, they were fired up. They came back, the Bible says, with joy, unspeakable, full of glory. The Bible says, and the 70 in verse 17 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, circle, even. See, they had a healing ministry. They didn't have to mess with them nasty things, them devils, you know. We in the healing ministry, Brother Jim, we doing the same thing. No, you're not. Because if you study scriptures, everywhere that Jesus healed the sick, the inference is there that, and many demons left. Or he cast out devils and many were healed, with the exception of one place. So the inference is that healing and deliverance works together. And generally it was done in one overall operation. Alright, and so, but you got a lot of healing rooms out there, a lot of healing ministries out there. And so they came back with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons were subject unto us. That wasn't what their commission at that time was. Jesus told them to go heal the sick. Just go heal them.
He was taking care of that error and that lying doctrine today where people will say, I'm only in the healing ministry. And then the Bible says that he said unto them, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. In my city, there's a group that started, they stopped. I hadn't heard anything about them the last 3 or 4 years. And they were territorial mappers. And they called me in there, and they were so, oh, we're so happy you came. I said, well, no, I'm glad y'all invited me over. And I looked at him, and the prophet, he couldn't hardly make eye contact there. I don't know, I thought he was a little upset there. I said, well, I hadn't even got started yet. So I said, oh boy, this is going to be a long night. And I said, I'm just here to be here. So anyway, and I knew the person that was starting this big meeting, they was going to sit around the Pentagon, you know, and they was going to tat out all the demons, you know. And so I said, well, you know, they don't have to know what I know too much. And if Jesus said, if one is tearing them down over the city and the principality, and I'm tearing them out of the people, well, as long as we're working together, they don't have to even know. I said, the problem is when they think I'm against them. I had a preconceived idea. I'm trying to work along with them. They doing spiritual warfare. I'm doing spiritual warfare. I'm taking them out of the people. You take them out. You think you're moving them out of the city, maybe. I don't know. But Jesus said that when they were doing the healing ministry out of the people, that the principalities fell over the city. He said, I behold Satan fall. Well, y'all was healing the sick. So I think territorial and doing ministry one to another should be working together. To have an effective territorial mapping ministry, you better be in spiritual warfare, casting demons out of each other. Let us stand. Father, we just pray before our great high priest, Lord Jesus Christ. This prayer of repentance, God, as I stand before you representing this group of people before you today, Lord, we just touch and agree right now, Lord God, and ask you to forgive us for not taking the ministry of spiritual warfare seriously, for being careless and not valuing the ministry of spiritual warfare that you've given to each one of us. And we pray, God, that you will strengthen us with the Holy Spirit, power and authority of your word, the all-powerful name of Jesus Christ, that we become bold in God and become available to you, Lord God, to do the work that you've called us to do. Lord God, we are a privileged people that stand before you, God, repenting of our carelessness, Lord God, of our not moving forward with the things you've called us to do. We ask, God, that you will help us to fulfill your calls today. Give us the qualifications that we need, Lord God, that we might be greatly used, that we might serve you, that we might honor you and exalt you, that through our life's testimony and ministry, many would be saved, delivered, discipled, and that many would go forth preaching the message of the kingdom of God. We pray, God, today over our own homes and our families and our own lives, to tear down the territorial spirits, hindering every work of God in our ministry, hindering deliverance in our ministry. Over our appointed cities, Lord God, we declare that Jesus Christ is Lord of our homes, Lord of our lives, Lord of our cities. Father, we pray right now, and we accept fully our commission from you, Lord God, in the ministry of the kingdom of God to set the captives free. We accept the commission of God. Lord, we thank you, Lord God, as we will gather tomorrow morning at 6 o'clock for prayer. I pray now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, now and forever. May the church say amen to the holy word of God. Amen. May God bless you. Hope you were encouraged tonight. God bless you.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.